up with Dr. Leyland.
Step into the future, the world is waiting now. Dreams are in the making, we'll show you how. From the books to the screen, from the stage to the stars. Level up your game, let's raise the bar. Innovation, inspiration, it's in our DNA. Breaking through the limits, we're paving the way. Level up, reach the sky, take the lead, don't be shy. Your story's worth it, your light will shine. At Level Up will be heard, building a legacy with every word. From podcasts to pages, from business to art, Level Up's the place where it all can start. With heart and with vision, we're chasing every goal. Together we'll ignite the fire in your soul. Level Up, reach the sky, take the lead. Don't be shy, your story's worth it, your light will shine. At Level Up Academy, it's your time. Oh, it's your time. At Level Up Academy, we rise and climb.
Whoa! Welcome, guys. Welcome to Level Up Academy by me, Dr. Leyland. Welcome, welcome. And if you are curious of what we do, go ahead and just type in levelupwithdoc.com and you will get to our services. Or you can go to luabydocleyland.com. That's Level Up Academy. So welcome. You know, I was actually reflecting. You guys know that I'm in this journey of intuition, right? Getting more into my intuitive sides. I have been in the journey of also listening to my guts more. Every time that I go against how I feel, I always make a lot of mistakes because I'm like, I'm logical than that. I'm going to go this way. But my gut tells me different. So I go the opposite way, like a brat child, you know? And that's what happens. I get into places or hang out with people that literally doesn't serve my purpose or my mission. But as soon as I got into more of listening to my gut more, going through how I feel would make my friends and I really at peace of what we do and amplify our message, because you guys already know my vision is what? To be the Netflix of, ta-da, education. And also, in order for me to do that, how do I do that? Right? This one is only been a year. I've had my TV shows for almost like a year and a half, but it's only been a year. And there were so many doors that shut in my face saying, you can't do it. You're 5 feet tall. You're quirky. You're old and you're Filipino. Like, what? Okay, whatever. Opinion. Bye. Right? And then they're like, sure, you could do it for $60,000. I don't know about you guys, but my money tree doesn't have real money in it. It's just leaves. Okay. Like if I could shake my money tree and money would come out, it would be nice, but I don't. So I try to find a way where I could help myself and my friends amplify their message. And I'm here to tell you that working hard for a year and a half to 2 years, because I really didn't do my, I mean, I started 2022 with Level Up Academy, but I really didn't get it going until about maybe even 2024. Like last year, I really bulked up everything. You guys know I had radio, magazine, press release in 3 months. I did all of it in 3 months. My point is you can do it too, right? That is my point. But what's really weird, I will tell you about what happened with Chi tomorrow. It's kind of, yeah, I have goosebumps. I will tell you all about it. Anyhow, if you are launching a product or a service, please make sure to get in touch with me, okay? And the reason for that is because we want to make sure that you can have a press release for NBC, Google News, Presswire, Affinity, AP. I'm actually on AP. AP News is huge. Yahoo, Google, obviously, Bing, Moody's, Analytics, ABC, CBS, Fox, and TFE. These are just some of the big names that you probably will recognize out there. But I can pretty much go in any industry in Africa, Asia, North America, Latin America, Europe, Middle East, or Russia. And most press releases will be just that, press release. For me, I continue to level you up in any possible way, not just my network, but my networks of my friends as well who have a bigger network. That's how we roll, right? So yes, go ahead and let me know. By the way, 50 inspirational connections. It's actually going to be inspirational leaders, not just going to be on LinkedIn. This is my third year, right, that I'm going to be doing. So it's going to come out in June. So I just want to give you a heads up. I am looking for people. This is a free service for me to amplify your message, right? I'm actually looking for ambassadors, people who have done already in their jobs and amplify other people's. This is more of a community service, guys. We got to get together to make sure that we can recognize those people who helped us along the way. And, okay, look at this beautiful people at Barnes & Noble's when they did book signing. Guess what? When we did that book signing, I thought, okay, that was really good. But we're on universities. If you look at Miami University Bookstore, this book right here, this anthology is in universities as a textbook. Like what? I was so excited about that yesterday. And then we're also on Netherlands' biggest cafe where our books, they have a bookstore in there as well. So I am so thankful for all of you and all the 72 stories that we've done last year. And I just wanted to also bring about that this book right here, the anthology that we just did, hit in so place in so many places as number one international bestseller. So we just celebrated that with our team. We're going to continue to celebrate tomorrow. And that's me telling you that in, let's see, April or May, we're going to have actually next month, which is next week, we're going to have an author's call because we have another anthology we do every quarter. That's going to come out. So if you want to write your book, and I've always thought, you know, I could write my own story, but you never get to it because once you start, it's overwhelming. The process is overwhelming for somebody new. And it's okay to do self-publishing, but it's lonely to do your own self-publishing, right? You literally have to beg people to like download your stuff. But when you're in anthology, it's a group of people built in to push each other up. So if I were you, if you wanted to tell your story, start with an anthology. And if you don't know what an anthology is, it's literally short stories, 3,000 words of people's life, people's thoughts. And you're like, well, I don't know where to start. Usually we will have a theme. This one is going to be run by my sister, Susanna. So I don't know if we're going to have a theme or not, but more likely we'll have a theme, right? This one that we did was Beyond Boundaries, Thriving in Life's Gray Zone. So people were talking about how they thrive within their adversity. So you could do that. Rebel with a Cause, you guys already know, right? You're a rebel and you have a cause. You guys already know that. I can't even find my Moving Beyond boxes in here. But all of our anthology had themes last year. This is the first time that we didn't have a theme. And I'm so happy that even we didn't have a theme, we still hit in so many places. And you can still find it on Amazon. And let me see if I can share it with you guys really quickly. Yes, you can see it. Okay. So I just made it large. We have bestseller, number one international bestseller. I'm so excited. And so literally you could be, you're sitting on yourself right now. In 3 months from now, you could be part of our group and be a number one international bestseller. Why do you care for that? It's good for your resume. It's differentiating you. What's the difference between our anthology and other people's anthology? You don't go to universities on anthologies. You stick with Amazon. For us, most likely, if I do another press release, which I did, and also put a different publisher, which I did, you could have your own book signing. I'm just saying, at Barnes & Noble. So it's kind of an amazing thing. So let me see. What else do I have? My sponsors. Okay. So this magazine comes out, Disrupt and Dominate is coming out this weekend. And I have a lot of goodies to tell you on these CEOs, these founders who's disrupting and dominating our space, guys, our space. And guess what? I'm going to be talking about what they do and how are they disrupting and dominating their industry. And some of them are not going to be pretty in terms of like how to get there. But that's why we love authenticity. Because we want to make sure, right, that we can show up as ourselves and not put a mask on, like what my sister Susanna says, just so you could have somebody else, right, being happy or somebody else being satisfied of what you're doing. We're done with that. We are done with that. That's why we did Rebel with a Cause. But right now, these founders are going to be disrupting and dominating. And it's going to be online, obviously, on my website and also physical because I'm old school. I like my magazine physical, okay? So here it is. I do design it. I do write it. This is my doctor's friends. All of my doctor friends were on here, okay? They have their own businesses and things like that, but that's what I actually do. So last thing I wanted to tell you is if you like a little pep, but you also have like coffee kind of makes your tummy bad, rice coffee is mushrooms, right? And you're like, CJ, what does that mean? It has six different like mushrooms in it that is good for you. And the caffeine is actually only 48%. And you're like, CJ, how does that keep you up all day? It does, but it doesn't have that jitter. Now, remember that this six mushroom, cordyceps is for energy. Lion's mane is your focus. Reishi mushroom is for stress relief. Who's not stressed right now? Our eggs are like, what, $20 a dozen? So who's not stressed right now? Shiitake mushroom is for immune support. Turkey tail is for healthy digestion. And king trumpet is to fight oxidative stress, okay? So that is what I'm going to tell you. And then global influencing, I am doing global influencing. I know that date says March 14th, but this Friday I will be in global influencer as one of the global influencer if you wanted to know anything about social media. I think I'm done. I've talked a lot. So I will see you guys tomorrow also on the TV, but I really want to bring up my guest. Do you see this beautiful lady? Let me tell you a little story, okay, before I introduce you. So you guys know that my calendar is literally booked. I am not available for the public. That means that you are not doing business with me. I've never met you before. I've never talked to you before. I'm not available until like November, December right now. You guys know this. I get a lot of complaints pretty much every day. Why is your calendar so, you know, I'm like, I get booked because I do business. Anyhow, she showed up in our academic publishing yesterday meeting right after Susanna's show. I'm like, wait, what? And I'm like, oh yeah, she was on my calendar. So I thought she was an HOB, meaning Hounds of Business Community. And I'm like, I don't see her name there. So I ask her, I'm like, hey, can I talk to you in 20 minutes? And she's like, she was so nice. She's like, sure. She was so flexible. I'm like, oh, I love her attitude already. Attitude is everything for me. And then when we talked, she's like, no, I just saw you and I just got your calendar. So I'm wondering, how the heck did she get into my calendar for HOB? So we're going to find that out today. She's going to tell me how she got in there. But let me tell you about her first, okay? She is a first-generation immigrant. She's a self-made entrepreneur. She's a certified financial advisor, passionate about helping others achieve financial freedom. And of course, she's purpose-driven success. Her journey is one of resilience, transformation, and unwavering commitment to empowering others, not just financially, guys. When we talked yesterday, she talks about all kinds of aspects of life. And I, like, the more she opened her mouth, the more I felt so a line, which is kind of weird for the first time that I meet someone. She also built a thriving business in a restaurant industry, proving that hard work and determination can open doors. However, after achieving financial success, she faced costly investing mistakes during the dot-com bubble in 2008, mortgage crisis, right? Like most people who did. So this experience actually led her to a powerful realization that true success isn't just about making money. It is about knowing how to keep it, grow it, and align it with a greater purpose. Now, your purpose and my purpose and her purpose are different. So how do you do that? Well, this awakening led her to explore the deeper connection between wealth, success, and spirit. Now, she realized that financial independence means nothing without overall well-being. We're talking faith. You have to have strong faith, family, health, and purpose. You guys already know this. This is on your list as well, right? But today, she's on a mission to disrupt that financial literacy. Because right now, most people don't know. We have a crisis with it. While helping you build not just your wealth, but a life of true abundance. And I love that. Now, she is a financial educator and leadership coach. She also helps others create lasting impact through smart tax strategies. Hello, business owners, right? We're calling up on you. Wealth building principles and personal growth. She also believes in success is not defined solely by income, but a balance of lifestyle, of faith, family, fitness, and financial freedom. So when I show Yo Chi, I thought she was younger, but I'm not going to give her age because I'm not doing that. She can say that. But she's more energized than ever. She's mentoring, coaching, and guiding others towards financial confidence and personal freedom. Her message really is clear, guys. When wealth and purpose aligned, true success follows, okay? And let's just say, let's do math here. Let's just say that she's, well, you guys know I'm almost 50, but she's like 10 years older. She's like my older sister. If she allows me, I'm going to call her older sister. Achi. She's so beautiful. Are you guys ready for her? I'm ready for her. I'm excited for this conversation. All right, let's bring her up. Hello.
Oh, my goodness. Dr. Leland, you are just amazing. I'm so speechless. I just listen. Listen to your words.
Oh, my gosh. Okay, first of all, right, we have a lot of people here actually messaging already. So we're going to actually start with this question, which I always start with this question, right? Think back 20 years ago and find within your timeline some of those significant changes in your life that got you here where you are today. And I think I talk about that a little bit on your bio where, you know, you own a restaurant, something happened, and you're like, oh, stop. How am I going to do this? So take us a little bit in there.
Well, it's, I think most of us know when we, during the early journey of our life, we operate in autopilot. And a lot of our mindset thinking are being instilled upon from your culture, your upbringings, right? Your belief. So upbringing, I feel that the family where we came from, you know, I grew up in the 60s. And everybody pretty much eat in the same pot. Everybody lived in the same household. We all made the same money. So the mindset was very much government would take care of us. That's the environment we grew up. And I never forgot that when I started my first grade, I was given this called Little Red Pocketbook. And that pocketbook was written by the leader, Mao. And we little kids just stood up, recite his writings. And that was all we had. The teachers were all being educated by the communists. The real educated people are being put in the labor camp and had no access to library, nothing. And a little girl at the time, I remembered, I was just so hungry for real resources and knowledges where it's not available. So there's a desire inside of me that where can I get real answers what life is about? So then, you know, after I step into when finally they open the door, we can actually have access to college. The college entrance, college university was shut down for over 10 years back in the 70s and 60s. So there's no higher education. Everybody basically say, okay, when you graduate high school, you just handed down a job, whatever job they think you can have. That's it. And I was lucky enough when I graduated, the door just opened, but unfortunately the entrance was so limited. I was 2 points shy of it. And I had to just take a job. And it was considered a very prestigious job. And that job got me realized, like, I was watching all the people back, you know, now it's my age, living in a big, beautiful European building and working day in, you know, 9 to 5, literally just doing the same old mundane thing. And I realized this is not for me, you know? So that got me into thinking, what can I do? Back in the 80s, there wasn't much choices. So, and that's how I just step into marry somebody I barely knew for 2 weeks and then just came to this land of opportunity in America, right? And that was a new life. But then also, and then the reason I stepped into opening a business, there's another second journey when I had to take a job again with the post office back in the 90s. And I was pressured to be told that we got to have health insurance, we got to have security, you know? I feel like in your early journey of your life, you're living the life in the dream of others. What society, what the norm think, what is security, what is safety? I got to have health insurance. I got to have stable income. And I did, you know, I pushed myself, whatever I decided to do, I did it. But after getting into that job and I realized how toxic it was and the people that environment I was in, where people literally were talking about retirement, they don't talk about today. And I looked at it, I was in my early 20s, like, that doesn't seem to belong to me. I was absolutely miserable. And I put my 2 week resignation and out of shock, and everybody was shocked, so shocked, because I have not seen anybody quitting job when they got this job usually. And people that I know that follow my steps still stay there for the rest of their life. And I got out of it. And I even remember there was one coworker literally and said it to me, oh, she's gonna be working for McDonald's. That's how sad it was. Yes, that's how people try to put their own perception towards their limitation towards others, thinking that, oh, you're not gonna make it. And guess what? In 4 months, I opened my first restaurant. That's a journey, my first entrepreneurship. But that's a second chapter of my life, what I learned from, you know, 15 years in the restaurant industry, the challenges with knowing nothing to having to learn everything from beginning, right? Learning how to managing people, creating marketing strategies, constantly dealing with, you know, different pressures from different angles. And all of that is a complete learning journey. To me, the hardest thing for me was working with employees. And even up till now, I'm still learning that. Okay, so that's my journey of entrepreneurship, starting, you know, back in the 90s. And then I opened first restaurant, as I said in my bio. And then after I had the first restaurant and I was pressured to sell due to personal reasons. And, you know, my ex-spouse was just fearful of dying and felt like, oh, I work too much and everybody around me in this industry dead. Die young, you know, overworking. And I was literally pressured to get out of the restaurant with no exit strategy. And then during that time, in, you know, back in the peak of 2000, and guess what happened? We were at a dot-com peak, and I had no clue about investment. And all of a sudden, I was being handed over a big chunk of money from sale of the business. I said, oh, what shall I do? I got to make the money work for me. You know, I handed over to the Wall Street, Schwab, through a friend of mine who I thought was quite well educated that I could trust. And guess what? I was able to, I literally watched the market from $10 to $250 share just all these crazy ups and downs. And I said, that's not living. That's not living, you know? So I think it was just, we were being put into the mindset like, oh, we got to, I was at the age where I wanted quick money, quick winning, quick success, right? And I'm seeing that a lot of, I don't call it next generation millennials or the next generation, they're repeating the same life what I just went through back then. I wanted quick success, quick money, right? When I sold the restaurant, I said, okay, I got to make the money work. I can't wait to put money in the bank. I got to go put it in the Wall Street. And guess what? I lost only 90% of money. Yes, tanked, right? And that was probably the number one lesson I learned, one of the biggest lessons I learned. And the second lesson was tried a different business, none worked, went back to the restaurant again. Right. And then I said, okay, business really don't make me, you know, people don't understand when you have a business, you still have to learn how to invest your money. Here's the biggest thing that people fail to understand. Most business owners are so devoted to building, growing business, not knowing that while you're building, you still have to learn how to invest. These have to be done simultaneously, but a lot of time, what's the issue? We don't have time.
Yeah. We don't have time for that.
Our excuse is we don't have time.
Yeah.
Okay. And that's exactly the mistake I made. I didn't have time. Well, I think for me, it was more the resources. I didn't know who to turn to, who to ask.
Well, you already learned your lesson. Like, I hope you learned your lesson on the first one, you know, like, I'm not doing this anymore. I'm not giving anybody money. That's hard lesson, because I think one of my parents did that too, and their retirement just, so they had to work, you know, 36 years in their organization to just get into retirement. But you're right. And I want to know right now, and I know you're getting there, but I want to know right now, like, how this is where, how you're doing it for yourself. But now that you found the formula of how to do it, what does financial confidence mean to you personally? And how has that definition really evolved over time?
Yeah, this has been a very, very, very long journey. I feel that we grew up thinking that money is everything, right? Money is the ticket to freedom. That's what we were taught. And that's what I see. So many people put so much emphasis towards money. But money itself has no energy. It's just a tool. We could talk about it, but is it true? Is that how we feel? We have so much attachment towards money. And so it's been a learning journey for me. And so I read a book called Secret to Attract Wealth by Joe Vitale. And that book has been a huge liberation for me. And he's the one that literally was homeless 30 plus years ago to become a multimillionaire. One of his secrets is that you have to make a decision to say, I could let everything go. And I've done it in my life, you know? So I could resonate what he's saying, you know? I remember in 2008 when, you know, that will tie back to my other second part of my story. When my daughter was born and I started to see the economy changing where most other people have not seen. Business owner could feel the pressure right away. You know, this everything starts slowing down. You probably don't see any profit anymore. And then I start cutting down all the expenses, everything as much as you can. And still, you can't cut anymore. Still going down. So my daughter was born, and that was the time when I realized, okay, I'm working like a crazy maniac. I have no life. And then this precious angel was born. What kind of life am I going to bring to her, right? So I had to make a very, very big determination where I literally let everything go. No, I had a lot of savings. I let everything go to give away to the spouse so he could live upon the life where I start with zero. And other people may never understand that. Money was never really was my main drive for my life, where people that were close to me thought the main money was my main drive, but they don't know the true chi. I love to create things, create ideas. I love to inspire people. I love to live life to be just peace and joy. That's really my drive, and freedom is everything, you know? So when I decided, it was just like moment awakening. I never forgot. I was dealing with tenants not paying my rent. I have like multiple properties, and then the business just like has no income, and then I still had to pay all the bills. And I'm like, okay, how much further can I sustain this? That was when suddenly there's a spirit coming to me. You know what? Those assets are draining me. I'm not growing. I'm shrinking. I'm just literally just surviving. I can't see myself in the future anymore. And that's the day I decided, you know what? I'm going to let everything go. Let everything go. That was, it's a moment of freshness, like lightness. That's when you realize, oh my God, what really matters?
That's powerful.
Yeah.
I'm thinking while you're talking, like, we're toxic to ourselves. Like, seriously, because we like to control. And at the end of the day, when you let go of control, it's actually freedom. And we complain daily, like, oh my God, this is blah, blah, blah. But at the end of the day, it's the power of choice. Choice is so powerful because you could make you or break you, right? And I love that you choose to level up yourself by letting go. Like, I'm thinking, what can I let go? I have issues, like we all do have issues, but I have issues, like my husband literally said, you're a hoarder, which I probably am, to be honest, because like I would, you know, keep my boxes, and she's like, throw that boxes away. I'm like, oh, but what if I sell this thing? What if? But it never really happened, right? So it's like, what are you going to do with that, CJ? You're just going to live in boxes or in clothes and shoes everywhere. Like, I have an abundance of a lot of things. And I think people sometimes forget to reflect that they need to be grateful for everything they have and what they don't have. Like, my friend didn't understand that statement, what I don't have. And I said, she goes, why would you be grateful for what you don't have? I said, you don't understand. It's a mindset. I don't have cancer anymore. I'm grateful for that. I don't want it, right? I don't have user friends anymore that I let go. And it felt so good, like a thorn just taken out of my heart. And I didn't even know it was killing me daily. I think that I had a conversation with my 17-year-old about people pleasing and how she would react to certain friendship. Because she, you know, she tells me everything in when she gets out of school. And she tells me this, this, and that. And I said, I am a people pleaser, me. It's because of my trauma in the past, but I have learned boundaries. It only took me almost 50 years of my life to have boundaries for yourself. It's more of self-care and self-respect that you have to have for yourself, because giving everything that you've got, your energy, you know, and that's a problem, because I think as much as I love Asian culture because we're a community, we need to learn to love ourselves. I think we tend to love everybody else around us and we put ourselves last. And then we complain why we have this pain, why we don't have enough of this, or why we don't have enough of that. And at the end of the day, no one can solve that. Not even your spouse, not even your kids. You can solve that by the power of choice. So I really love your story. Continue.
Yes, actually, and as I was preparing this speech this morning, I just want to share the world. I feel like my life has been quite a lonely journey. I felt like I'm just living in my own little head for most of my years. And for the longest time, I didn't know what's wrong with me. And now I feel like I'm okay with that, you know? I've never really learned. I never really wanted to follow the herd. And it's every decision I've made is always, what is it I want? Okay. I've done things that are completely against the norm, that shock people. Hey, I'm turned out okay. The most important is that I think the most rewarding that I have so far, that I really feel so blessed, is that the generation curse. And this is something I want people to hear that. And I was telling you yesterday, okay, are you repeating the life of your parents that you felt that you could have done better? Have you created a new future for your legacy? Okay, this is something that I'm always, because as I just so surprised that when I was a kid, and I was telling my daughter-in-law is probably listening too, when I was probably born, my mom was born out of despair, where she felt she was never deserved to live. She was, you know, her mom was running for life during Japanese bombing. So when I was born, I was fed with this idea that she doesn't deserve to be live. They were going to dump her in the river, and her aunt wanted to save her because she was so adorable. And that was the thing that I was given to me, and she cried. My mom cried a lot to me, where, you know, how she was not being loved and how she was not being cared for growing up, although my dad loved her dearly so much, and he would do anything for my mom. Oh, I thought in my little soul, like, oh my God, mom, you're just so fortunate, you know, that my dad loved you so much. But I don't think she felt the love, right, herself, because she doesn't have the self-love. That is so critical, that oftentimes the self-love is what we all have to develop. It's not something that's going to happen overnight, I tell you. It's a lifelong journey. It's everyday new muscle development, meditation, solo moment, you know. And I was listening to Joe Dispenza. I just felt like he's my spiritual teacher, whom I have never met. And just it's a huge, huge awakening. I could tell he poured his soul to help others to truly understand, step into your inner self. That's really freedom to me. So I do love to spend me time.
I love that. And that's what I always tell my sister too. What makes me tick every day is happiness and peace. That's all I want. And happiness doesn't necessarily mean, I don't know why our culture, not, I don't know if it's an American culture thing, because I grew up in the Philippines, born and raised there until I was 13, and I came here the rest of my life. But for somehow, when people think of success or happiness, you know, those keywords, people have to wait for big things to happen to be happy. Why? Like, I don't understand. Literally, I'm happy drinking my coffee and listening to music and dancing, because that's just me. Like, I dance, I sing, and my dogs look at me like, what the? I'm like, oh, I feel like a red hair today. I'm going to change my hair, change my makeup. And then so in the morning, I could be blonde right now. In the afternoon, I could be red hair. Who knows? Like, whatever I feel. And it doesn't matter, because I'm so over people judging. I am so over people judging. I'll be honest with you. I do judge people too. But I judge them based on action. I can't just judge them based on, you know, looks. Because when I go out with my daughter, they were like, oh, wow, your friend is going to pay for you? Wow, you're so amazing. And my daughter's like, I don't got money. This is my mom. And they're like, what? I thought you were best friend. Like, you know, I'm like, oh, she has money. She doesn't want to fork it out. But yes, you know, like, but it's that. It's like, I love life because, listen, I almost died 8 times in my lifetime. 8 times, including cancer. So why would I stop living, and why would I live for others? Mm-hmm. Right? Yeah. Maybe for my kids, yes, they're a pain in my butt, but I wouldn't change them in the world. The back talk, the sass, the look, blah, 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 and the not listening anymore. And sometimes I turn around, I'm like, man, I wish you were 5. You were so cute. You were so agreeable. And she looks at me like, so I'm not cute anymore? I'm like, oh, no, you're gorgeous. But I mean, that attitude's got to go, you know? And then she looks at me and turns around. She goes, I have you for a mother and I have that for a dad. Like, what do you expect? I'm like, oh, you went there, you know? Like, so funny. But I love that you are sharing this. And I want people to know, like, how do you help people today? What advice would you give to someone who feels overwhelmed and doesn't know where to start to invest their money? Because we have a lot of business owners here actually watching you.
Yes. That's a very, very, very deep questions. Oftentimes, I like to use my own personal journey as experience so that, you know, people who are watching can relate. You know, when I started my first restaurant and it was instant success, I was like, oh, great. I got my ticket to success. I found the secret. I'm smart. I know everything, you know, and boom, something happened, right? And I never know how to invest money, that's for sure. And so knocked me down and then went back to restaurant again. And then there's a lot of noises of real estate. So what I do, I started investing, paying some tuition, going to different events, learning from, we call it expert. And so create a lot of asset back then. And guess what happened? 2008, mortgage crisis bust. So these two lessons have taught me so much, you know, so now I have understanding of starting a business, understanding of investing in the market, and then in starting understanding of challenges facing real estate investment. So I really have the understanding both now being in this financial service industry for 9 years. So I do consider myself having a very holistic look towards overall money concept. So, and I often hear from people saying, oh, if they're in the real estate, they think they got a ticket to secret to wealth, right? And that's the only way for wealth. And then when I have people who are in the, you know, hotel industry, they got a ticket to wealth. But here's what I always ask, is there other way to collaborate, to put together, create a holistic approach, right? Because real estate, hotels, typically, I said, yes, you may have created more wealth than others that who have not accumulated those, but do you understand the tax strategies? I have example of a gentleman that I met recently that have been in the real estate industry for many, many decades, in the mid-70s. And yes, he's created great wealth. I said, great, I'm so happy. But here's a question to you. Here's one thing I feel a little bit challenging for most real estate is that you have to 1030 when exchange to upgrade in order for you not to take a profit and not to pay taxes. He said, agree. I said, what if there's a way? I said, who's going to pay taxes? Oh, that would be my grandchildren's worry. It's not my thing anymore. Seriously. Yes. I said, well, what if there is a way that you could take away that worries and challenges for your grandchildren? Sure, I'm open to explore. See, I love to talk to people who are open-minded. Mm-hmm. Instead of saying, oh, my land or the other land.
Yeah. Right?
It's yeah, only yeah, my land or the other land.
Yeah.
So, you know, when I talk to you and your word of collaboration, I said, that's a music dancing in my ear because I feel the world is so small now. And financial literacy, it's such a most searched word if you learn about it. People are struggling and people are living in a quiet desperation. They don't know who to trust, where to get answers. But here's what I tell people. The way I talk to my client is that I'm not your ultimate answer. The ultimate answer is within you. You have to take ownership of stepping into this uncomfort, unknown, and start to become familiar with it and start taking ownership of your future.
Yeah.
Learning about money is a new skill, a skill that everybody has to learn, regardless of where you're from, what culture or what career you're in. We have so many doctors who went to school, acquired skill, became a medical doctor, or opened their clinic. Guess what? They got into further debt. Average yep, people with debt anywhere from $500,000 to $1 million after
easy,
they got out of school. Yes.
Yeah.
Okay. And then they started to have to level up, having bigger house, bigger cars, bigger debts, more debts. All of a sudden, they get there in their 50s, and the kids are going to college, and more debt. It's like, when can debt ever get out of it? How can I create wealth for my future?
That's true. Even when you die, you still have to pay taxes.
Pay taxes. People are not aware, right?
Oh, right now, I was like,
yes.
Yeah.
Yes, not knowing about the taxes. And, you know, people complain, say, oh, why do wealthy people pay less taxes? Because they understand the rules. Okay? Don't hear the noises in the social media and Wall Street. You got to dig deep into learning the truth. And that's what I tell people. So what I do is I'm very transparent. I'm very authentic. To me, it's like I tell you everything I learn, everything I do, and you decide what's best for you. Certainly, I will offer you suggestions to start something, because our company, we discuss about financial literacy is really 7 money milestones. It's not just one thing. But guess what people do? They only focus on one thing. When they forgot, there's other issues that could challenge you. You know, we all guaranteed to die. We all guaranteed to pay taxes when we're alive and we die, right? We're guaranteed to have some medical crisis, right? But yet we focus so much on creating wealth, ignoring the quiet sleeping bomb that's going to come out one day. That's going to destroy everything you have worked so hard for.
Yeah. And it doesn't matter where you're at. It doesn't matter which country you're in. It doesn't matter what culture you're in. It's going to happen. You're guaranteed to get old. It's not going to reverse back. Mm-hmm. How are you going to handle that? And a lot of people, you see a lot of homelessness, especially here in San Diego. Everything is expensive. Everything. You breathe wrong is expensive. Okay. So I'm just saying, this is why we need to have leaders like you who actually cares about something in their life that happened, and now they want to teach and continue their legacy of teaching others through education. And that's why I know that you're aligned. I've never had anyone I talk to and then come into my show the next day. You would have to wait 3 months. Like, that's just my rule. I'm like, no one breaks that rule except for two.
I'm completely honored.
I was like, wait, what did I just do? No, it's because when we talked, I felt your heart and I felt your passion. That's why I call people soul-hearted. A lot of people will say I'm heart-centered. I'm over heart-centered people. I think people are great. I think people have good hearts, but good hearts doesn't align with me, because I've seen good-hearted people who do nothing and they're full of excuses and they talk the game and they're so good at talking and sales pitch and all this. And then you ask them, what's your skid mark? What do you mean? I'm like, what have you done to do all this talk? Nothing. I was like, okay. That's when I walk away. It's because talking doesn't mean anything to me. It's talking and action that needs to align. And once that's aligned, that's when you're like, okay, come to me, because I really love to amplify your message, because in that way people can learn from you and what not to do anymore. Right. And I don't know why our kids, like, we tell them, this is the backpack of life. This is what I made a mistake on, and da 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 da. And then they go back. Well, in your generation, I was like, oh my God, we're not gonna go back here. And one time, I was called a boomer. It was a joke from TikTok, and I'm like, first of all, do I look like a boomer? Okay, let's just talk about that. Like, no. Second of all, wrong generation. That's your grandparents. Okay, like, seriously. And my daughter just looks at me like, Mom, you can't take a joke. I'm like, no, I have dry humor. I do not take that as a joke. We have issues. But it's all of the things that we do is for us and for our kids. But most people don't even see happiness. They don't even travel. They're in 50-mile radius of themselves. Mm-hmm. Did you know that? They don't. They can't. Even if they want to, they travel in their heads, you know, like, this is it.
Yes. Actually, I'm glad you brought that up. I think I've lived here almost 40 years. By next year, it'll be about exact 40 years. And I was shocked to realize back in the 90s that when I was working for my first job, post office, that most people don't even have passport. They've never lived outside of there where they grew up. I'm like, what? That's living? You know, when you start traveling, you see the rest of the world. Yeah. You see really, we're all one spirit. And that's how I teach people. I'm a woman of international. I love to listen and learn others' culture. And the more I learn, the more I connect with these people, the more I see we're all one spirit. Everything we're going through, the rest of the world going through, maybe in a different format, but really are similar.
Yeah. This is my second to the last question, okay? If you could go back and give your younger self one piece of financial advice, what would it be?
Great question. I think we need to take our time and learn. We need to surround yourself with people who truly, truly care about your future and your journey and help you, support you, coach you to learn. But most importantly, know who you are, okay? What's holding you back? And instead of spending more time planning your vacations, doing things for kids, grow yourself with the knowledge. Be patient with yourself. And it's okay to not know, right? But instead of following the herd, that's the most dangerous thing. What the rest of the world is doing, cryptocurrency, real estate, multifamily, all of these are fine. But just remember, none of these came to that level of success by accident. These people spent a lot of mistakes. They paid a lot of tuition. We all need to learn and take our time. Be patient. Don't be rushed to be successful. Enjoy the process and the journey. And this is what I learned. Yes, I wish I could be more patient and enjoy the process.
Me too. Me too. I always tell myself, I'm like, I don't have enough patience. I need to take a deep breath. But you know, I'm learning actually from my 17-year-old because she tells me, we're very close. And she tells me, like, Mom, you're being impatient again. And then yesterday, someone was honking at me while I'm making a right. And my temper come up. I opened my window and I started screaming. I was so mad. She's like, Mom, I go to these kids in the school. I'm like, well, then maybe their parents should have learned and taught them how to drive and not honk at older people. And she's like, oh, my God, Mom, stop. And I'm like, and I tried to get out of my car and I'm hoping they would get out of their car. And Bella's like, her name is Bella. She literally scoot down. She's like, oh my God, I hope I didn't see. Nobody saw you screaming. I'm like, they couldn't probably hear me. I was driving. But I wish that I was more patient. Like even when they were little, I was very patient, right? But now that they're older, my kids are older, I only have patience for my dogs. I don't know what it is. They can do whatever. And I'd be mad, but I'm like, oh, it's okay, sweetie. You're getting old. It's fine, you know? And she's like, Mom, she stinks. She needs a shower. I'm like, oh, let me just give her a little bubble bath. And she looks at me. She's like, how come you don't do that to me anymore? I'm like, because you're sassy and back talky and all this nonsense. And I have to really sit. And I'm like, why am I more patient with that? And I think it's probably knowing we have to give grace. Right? Because I think I give excuses for my dogs that they're here as my angel. Like they're just here to teach me a lesson. And my Cheerio gives me a lesson. That's what I wrote on my book, by the way, is my dog, my unlikely teacher. It's because she taught me so much about patience and about myself and my limitations and my weakness highlighted. Like, who wants to highlight your weakness? Me, because that's what my dog did. But I love that. And thank you for that advice, patience. Now, this is my last question, I promise. Okay. For today, at least. For today, G. Okay.
Sure.
If this is your last day today on this earth, what would be your parting message to your current and future families in terms of living life, legacy, and impact?
Oh, my goodness. When I was 12, I every essay I wrote, I would end with never ever regret and my deathbed where I wish I had done something. So I wanted to show my kids that I've lived my life. I literally have lived several times. I felt the birth of my daughter gave me a second chance to live, allow me to start to open up a new journey. What really truly matters, right? So she's teaching me while I was raising her. So I want to, you know, everyone to understand your children are your blessing to help you grow along with them. And like, literally, like I talked to my dear son, like I'm becoming a child. I want to talk to him. I ask his advice, right? Yes, I have wisdom experiences, but they have the new ideas where you have to catch up. So we are all collectively learning and growing every day to live our life to the fullest. So if I want everything I want to, I think the one thing, another word I want to give out to people is living a life of abundance. We are already complete. We are already full. We are already everything. and spend time with yourself every day with a moment of gratitude and love yourself and connect with a high power every day. And that brings me so much joy and emotion. And it's like heavenly.
Yeah. I love that. I have a lot to learn. Like, I still have a lot to learn, but I do like to enjoy my day every day doing what I love, which is being with my family, mostly with my dogs, because she hangs out with me all the time. And it's funny how she can't have the English words, right? She can't speak, obviously, but I truly understand what her needs are. Isn't that weird and amazing at the same time? Mm-hmm. So what really that teaches me is, in terms of communications, when I teach, because I am a professor full time, mm-hmm. is communication is not just about using your mouth. And it's not even just about your nonverbal communication either. It's about being.
So true. So true.
Right? Yes. Just being. What do you mean? Okay, when my dog sits there, okay, she looks at me. She has different, like, if you just sit there and watch her, she's an English bulldog. And she said, Fatso, I love Fatso's. Okay. She sits there in this cute little face and this pudgy little face. And she has doughy eyes, but she has cataracts on one of her eye. And she just looks at me. And then she rubs her ears and my legs. And I was like, okay, so she needs ear cleaning. And right. So I clean her ear. And then she looks at me. And then when she pounds, when she wants to go to, she wants to be put to bed, by the way. Okay. It doesn't matter what I'm doing. If I'm teaching, it doesn't matter. She will go and pounce and barks at me because she wants to be put in bed. Even if I'm watching TV, it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. She won't take no for an answer either. That's she amazing. Will she will continue. So I think for me, what I've learned is that if the people around you really cares about you and loves you for who you are, and you just be you and not people please all the time. And if they accept you for who you are, you better be grateful. Mm-hmm. Because a lot of people have facades and fakeness and this is me or whatever. For me, it's like I do what I do and I love what I do and I sing and I dance and I change whatever makeup. But that's not what you really need from me. What you need from me is my heart and my brain. That's it. Because we are spirit. This, everything that we have is literally an outfit.
Yep. Yeah.
When you die, that outfit is going to be gone, right? What you need to learn from people is the heart and the mind. And the only way to know that is for you to pay attention, right?
Yes.
So, yeah.
My computer is about to die. I forgot to put in charger. Apologize.
No, that's okay. We are ending. Thank you so much for your time today. I appreciate you. And everybody here appreciates you. And we love you. And thank you so much for leveling us up today about your journey being an entrepreneur and a financial analyst. I will actually put all your information on this in YouTube as well. If you want to comment on YouTube with your link and also your LinkedIn so they can find you, okay?
Beautiful.
Bye. Thank you so much for being here.
Thank you for having me.
Yes. Bye, everybody. Thank you so much for being here. And we will see you tomorrow for our TV show. Bye.